Welcome back to another episode of the Lads Talking Footy podcast. You are listening to episode number 50. So, Jordan, we've cracked it. We've put 50 episodes together. I think we came to a grand total of 60, but we've only got 50 out there. So, yeah, it's been a pleasure. We've chalked up them all through. So, it's a little bit of a milestone for the lads in this one. But how was your long weekend, mate? Your Easter? You get any chocolates?
No, well, I did. I can't say this on air because I'm playing 85s rugby. So, if I admit to eating a few Easter eggs, might get in trouble with the old coach, but that was a good weekend, man. Went to the Warriors, enjoyed the atmosphere there, especially getting a dub. It might just be that you're a little bit cursed because the last time we went together, I think the Sharkies got the dub. So no, it was cool, man. It was a good weekend, and there might have been a beer or two consumed as well. So
nice. Yeah, it was pretty crazy though. Three games now, and they've sold out all of them. Two at Mount Smart and the one in Christchurch. So the crowd is pumping. If you are a Waz fan, or yeah, maybe not a fan, go and get amongst the atmosphere because it is absolutely rocking at Mount Smart at the moment. So something you want to be a part of. We'll move into accountability, mate. So if you want to take us away on that one.
Yeah, sure, man. So in terms of picks, it was pretty much tragic round again for, I'd say, both of us. We didn't do too great. 3 out of 8 on my behalf, 4 out of 8 on your behalf. The first game of the weekend was the Roosters going down to the Panthers, 22-16. I had Roosters head-to-head, which missed. And came through clutch with Dylan's anytime try scorer. Dylan Edwards, sorry. Anytime try scorer, he came through. So good work there to start off the week.
Yeah, we were in for a hisser on that one. As soon as that one came through, I thought, oh, here we go. We've called it early. We sort of read the cards right. No Cleary. There we go. Dylan Edwards, he'll step up. And heck of a try he scored as well. That little kick through hit the Tedesco, I think it was, on the pirouette. Fantastic to see him playing games like this as well, because we'll get into it with the preview coming up. But if you're looking at it from an Origin standpoint, he's kind of ticked off Teddy. And Dylan Edwards is kind of looking to come for that, make a claim for that Origin number one spot. So, yeah, fantastic from him there.
Yeah, good result, man. And, yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get that one right. But something I did get right was the Rabbitohs beating the Bulldogs 20-16. I had Rabbitohs head-to-head. You, unfortunately, had Latrell Mitchell full-time try scorer and unable to go over there. I think Jack Wyden was hogging up all his tries. So you can blame him for that one. Cowboys. They went down to the Broncos 38-12 in a rainy game. Somewhat of an upset, but not when you consider where the Broncos are at. I went down with taking the Cowboys head to head. And then you went down as well, unfortunately, with Jeremiah Nanai, anytime try scorer. I keep saying ATS like against the spread.
I thought that was an absolute sitter there. All the stats were pointing towards it. It was just shit. I mean, we'll get into it with Reynolds. We saw a kicking game on another side of it. It was lapping up the tries from it. Nanai couldn't quite cash in for us there.
Yeah. Exactly right. And another one that broke our hearts was the Seagulls going down to the Dragons, 20-12. I've had a complete shocker because I've tried to go two bets here. I went Seagulls 13+, which obviously missed. And then low-scoring game, total points over 45.5. Didn't hit that either, so double whammy there. But you came through with Hamoli Olakau'atu, anytime try scorer. So well done getting the jam there.
Yeah. That was a lucky one because I was sitting there and I was waiting for it to come through on the tipping. It was like, come on, let's something hit here. And he managed to sneak over with a late median in that one. But yeah, I didn't think they targeted Flanagan as much as they would do in this one. He sort of went one out in that. But yeah, Hamoli managed to come through there.
Yeah, which is lucky because I'm surprised he caught the ball. That's how fucking bad the Seagulls were playing. So you did well to get that one through. The Dolphins, they went up against the Titans. They won 30-16. I came through with the Dolphins -2.5 points spread. And you unfortunately went down only just with either team wins 1-12. It was a 14-point margin. So a little bit unlucky there. Then the big one, Warriors. They beat the Knights at home 20-12. I came through only just on the right side of things. -6.5 points spread they covered. And you unfortunately went down with Dallin Martinez on try scorer, which you'd think is a given at home the way he's been scoring.
Yeah, I really thought those long locks were going to cross over there. It was even when Metcalf went down, I thought, okay, let's shore up that whole right side and let it flow from there. But DWZ, man, has been letting me down a lot lately.
Yeah, unfortunately there, but at least the Warriors got the win, so you can be happy about that. The Sharkies come back from an 18-0 deficit to beat the Raiders 36-22. I went down with the Raiders 1-12, and you've just gone Raiders head-to-head. We tried to get a little bit of underdog money out of them, but unfortunately the Sharkies came through, so at least you got your pick right, but the greediness kind of prevailed out.
Game. That was a shocker. That was, yeah, I'm tipping Sharkies here, but I'm betting the Raiders in it.
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, the Tigers, big upset over the Eels, 17-16 on Monday Night Footy. I went down picking the Eels 1-12, and he went up. Mike Acebo, anytime try scorer, hitting.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic to get over that one. I mean, when Sevo returns and you can get him at $2, you got to jump on it while you can.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And hopefully that's a sign of things to come for him. In terms of our repeat set bets, I did hit taking the Dolphins on that -2.5 line. And you've got a bit of a weird one. You've got a avoided bet with Blake Wilson anytime try scorer not seeing the field. Yeah. So I don't know what noise you make for that one. I guess like a push.
Play on, play on. Yeah, we get $5 again next week. You've hit every single repeat set so far this season as well. Well done. Yeah. If you want to lock it in with Tana, that's the one to go.
But unfortunately, once again, the 40-20 bets aren't hitting for me because Seagulls, 13+, they missed out for me. The Warriors, 1-12, did hit, but obviously you're only as good as the leg as a group. So 40-20 bets, still not quite hitting. I got to get some lessons from Cherry Evans. And you've had a little bit of a shocker with yours. Watini, Celestiak, anytime try scorer missing. Nanai, anytime try scorer. And Seagulls, head-to-head. All missing, so yeah, just a bit of a rough 40-20 attempt. Shanked it straight into midfield.
Terrible punting. It got charged down before it even left the boot. Yeah, it was absolute shocker there. As for the recap on that, I collected a total of 3.15 units after that round, which takes my total to 29.6 units. I've had a couple of questions fold round about what the actual unit sort of meaning is for it. So I normally bet in $10 units. So one unit will equal $10. For you, it could be you might bet in $5 units or something. So that's how I calculate it. It's just easy. Some guys bet hundreds. Some guys bet $50 units and stuff like that. So that's just how that works. And so basically, if you want to convert that into the $10 rank, then we've got a $30 pretty much on the nose collect from the round in that one, which then also would take your units up to $296 profit for the season as well. So yeah, if you're confused on that, one unit means however many dollars you want. So it could be $1 if you just want to follow along with that. Moving into the Telegram recap, absolute shocker of a round in this one. 65 units were staked with only a 28.8 unit collect. The best win was Acebo and Gutherson anytime try score at $5. So again, if you want to jump in, I think we are still sitting in the positive in that one. Hit the link in the on the page to jump in a part of that. Now we move into headlines. So I just got the one for us here. Came out today, actually. The Dragons will grant Zach Lomax an early release from his contract. He is now free to part ways with the club at the end of the season. Where would you like to see Lomax go in 2025?
Well, he obviously wants to be a centre, right? So it'd have to be somewhere with perhaps a weakness in that position. I've seen the team lists for this week, so I don't think it is a weakness per se with Simonson returning and then also Pennacini being quite a good player. But the offloading ability, just adding it to a whole group of offloaders of Zach Lomax in the Parramatta Eels, I think just for the gimmick alone is a good look. So if he can get a chance to sign with the Parramatta Eels and just add to their 50 offloads a game, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I love it. That's exactly who I had circled down as well. Yeah. As soon as this started to become a rumour a couple of weeks ago, the first team offer that were making inquiries, picking up the phone and calling, was the Parramatta Eels. And like we said, the stocks that they have in the centre position have been low for a few years. Simonson's been solid there, and Pennacini's kind of a lock in that position. But I would like to see Lomax on the Parramatta Eels. The other one that kind of crossed my mind was the Tigers. I wouldn't mind seeing him over there.
That was my second team.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Justin Ollam, who's gone over there, who was obviously playing pretty terrible footy for the Melbourne Storm. He's been absolutely fantastic to start the season. 2 games, 3 tries for him. But Lomax, he's got a lot of youth to bring. He's shown that he can be versatile. He can fill in at that fullback position as well if Bulo was to ever get injured. So the Tigers, I wouldn't mind. I'd like to see him there. You got Luai coming in there next year as well. Could be a few free agents heading over there to West and the part-time coach and Benji Marshall that's absolutely killing it at the moment.
Yeah, man, I'd love to see that. I think the Tigers, they have looked a lot better. That Lachlan Galvin's looking like an absolute gun. And like you said, Olam has stepped up huge for them. But I think they could do with just a little bit more X-factor and a little bit more zip. And Luai coming into the team paired with the Lomax could, you know, unlock this team fully. And the Tigers could be well and truly back.
Yeah, I like it. It'll be very interesting to see where he ends up.
Yeah, I hate to say it because I don't want to give Aaron any credit for his team, but yeah, they could be a force moving forward if they get that.
I like it though as well. I mean, in my eyes, it's sort of just the Titans at the moment that are the only team that looks like a clear bottom dweller, but every single other team on their day can beat any other team at the moment, which is great for the competition. Now we move into the power play of the round, brought to you again by TVC Live. Go download the app. It's fantastic to be a part of. For me this week, I feel like this is just a reoccurring theme. Power play of the round, brought to you by Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Back again. He hit the lights with the nasty left foot wax out there. Got Matt Croker. He was playing Twister in that one. Hit Jack Heatherton afterwards as well. And then put the bars up on Elliot. Absolutely fantastic, man. He's looking like a beast. We got to see him in that fullback role and the twinkle toes that come with it. When he's got like a little bit more space and a little bit more time, fuck, he looks so dangerous at the back there.
Yeah, he's looked outstanding, man. And I don't want to like disrespect him. I'd say, is he about 31 years old?
Yeah, it'd be around the mid-30s, or early 30s, I should say, if not just 30 on the nose.
He's looking like he's in the prime of career the way he's moving. The calves are as big as ever. I think that goes into part of your reason for picking him for power play every week, because you're loving the socks down, calves out effect of RTS.
But there's so much oil on those things, man. When you see it in the shadows and you just see the shadows coming off it, they're popping. And when he's hitting that left foot like that, and it's just I want to see the Fox camera get in on that, get that high definition show me the full shot of the calf coming bang off the left.
Yeah, man. He's playing outstanding. So, shout out RTS. I had my doubts, but you're definitely proving me wrong. My power play this week goes to probably one of the top five best try savers I've seen. I don't usually like picking guys and losing efforts, but this was just outstanding because you'd think Selwyn Cobbo, I know he kind of ran out of steam in one of the other runaways he did a couple weeks ago, but he still looked kind of fresh with his legs in this one. Caught an intercept from Drinkwater about 90 meters out. And then I thought he was gone for all money, but then you just see this little strawberry blonde thing coming from the other side of the field, running him down and slowly making meter after meter closing in on him. And then right within inches of the line, tackles him, rolls his leg into touch, and so close that the ref actually gave the try and they had to go to the replay to deny it. So honestly, one of the best try savers I've seen in a long time. Gives me like, I don't know if you ever saw this one, but James O'Connor vibes when he stopped that Irish try, like the 2011 Rugby World Cup, was kind of similar to that. But man, unfortunately, it couldn't come with a result, because if that had turned the result for Cowboys, we'd be looking at this through a lot more rose-tinted glasses. So still a great try saver in my eyes, Tommy Dearden.
Yeah, I love it. When I was listening to the commentary, I think the first thing that came out was that's a Queenslander effort. And in the preview last week, we talked about this being the matchup between Dearden and Ezra Mam and who's going to be that next guy for Queensland coming through there. And when you got effort players like that from Tommy Dearden, he's taken that captaincy role this year to a whole nother level with his play. He's been absolutely fantastic. When it would come to Tommy, it would just be normally just like run first and think to pass second, but he seems to be playing a little bit more clever this season. And like you said, I mean, that came late in the game and we saw that Bronco fitness coming from him, because he hit that with the fucking, he was ground running on that one. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Moving into the performances of the round now, I'm going to the Penrith Panthers in this one, and there could be a couple in this one. Luai was absolutely fantastic. Dylan Edwards, he was fantastic. Sunia Taruva has hit a whole nother level. I think if you're looking at a top try scorer for the comp, maybe look at jumping on him right now. But I'm going Brad Schneider. I thought it was Nathan Cleary out there in a scrum cap. He was absolutely fantastic. Huge boots to fill, an even bigger chin to fill in that one, and he did a fantastic job. Both of us had kind of ridden off Penrith without Cleary, without Fisher-Harris, but Schneider came out and did an absolute jobby on them. There was a play earlier on, I think we were talking about it, where he comes around the left and he just pushes Luai straight out and gets in between him and Kenny, demands the ball. And it just looked like that Nathan sort of play coming across. And I just thought straight away, he's coming into this team and he's not sort of taking that back seat and letting Luai be that dominant guy. He's there, he's ready to keep playing. And it kind of gives you a little bit of re-uncertainty if you're a Panthers fan, that if Cleary is out or over Origin, next man up, and he's got the mentality to keep steering the ship exactly like him. I thought he was absolutely fantastic in this one, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do this week with Fisher-Harris back in that pack as well. But Brad Schneider, man, he's going to have a few clubs calling if he's going to keep playing like this in the absence. So there's some teams out there that are looking for a half. Doggies, mate, go back to Penrith.
Yeah, I would like that, because it didn't look like they missed a beat, man. The shape still looked fantastic. That right side was still humming. So Brad Schneider, very good effort and showing his value in the loss of Cleary. So great effort from Schneider. And another team that I kind of rid off last week was the Brisbane Broncos. And I remember saying that surely they can't win just off a Reynolds kicking game. Adam Reynolds says, hold my beer, I'm going to win this just purely off of Adam Reynolds kicking game, because he was absolutely fantastic. A masterclass performance. Fingerprints all over this win, pretty much put it down to him. That's how I see it in my eyes, because the bombs that he was doing in the rainy conditions just caused countless drops, caused nightmares, and he was actually a result. His boot was a direct result for 26 of the 38 Broncos points, if you include the goal kick. So he was outstanding. He had one resulting in an offside penalty, which they dropped it, and Valentine Holmes couldn't keep his hands off it. Another one that Drinkwater just decided to leave, and then that resulted in an Arthur's try. That was another 6 points. Grubber to Stags, that was another 4 points. And then that grubber to a questionably offside Corey Oates at the end to seal the game. Another 6 points there. So he had his boot alone, his right foot, he might have used some left foot for some of them. I can't remember off the top of my head. But his feet were responsible for 26 of the 38 Broncos points. That is absolutely outstanding. And, man, I have to eat my hat, because an Adam Reynolds kicking game can beat the Cowboys, and he proved it once again. They've got their number, the Broncos and the Cowboys.
They really do, and I love it. I mean, we talked about this all last year as well, how fantastic Adam Reynolds is with the boot. And if you're not a kicker, when you're watching the games and you've got a right foot kicker and he's coming across, normally when they're putting those kicks up, it's just going back to that right side. It won't be going back across the body. And when he does those things, he's putting it on a pinpoint. He's coming across to the right and he's kicking off the inside of his right foot, bringing it to the left. And it's not like a Birdo bomb or just like a straight up and under and hope. They're all calculated, and he's got Drinkwater coming across, and then he's going to put up this right foot kick that's spinning the whole other way back off the left. And he's now got to turn and try and chase it. He's so creative with it all. You talk about Nathan Cleary and Mitchell Moses. Fogarty's now up there in terms of having the good kicking games of the comp just because of the meters that they can pull in with it. But Adam Reynolds can just put that wherever he wants. He's got it on an absolute string. It's absolutely fantastic. He might be one of the greatest ever kickers of the game at the moment. And yeah, just... it comes in so many ways, like the reverse spirals, that it's flowing the other way, the calculated grubbers. He's so creative all the time. It's just, it's fantastic. And then, I mean, exactly. And when you got a guy like Reece Walsh, who wasn't in this one, but Ezra Mam showed a lot of it last year, tracking up on the inside. Fuck, the Broncos are so dangerous with it. Now we're going to move into a new segment. So, you've got the Dally M awards that are on at the awards, the race for the Dally M award on at the moment, where all the players are obviously competing and getting their points for each round. We're going to introduce a Dally M lad of the round. So we're going to have it in tiers. Whoever it'll collect, someone will collect 3 points, someone will collect 2 points, and someone will collect 1 point each week. We'll keep a tally of that. It won't go behind closed doors, but the result will be revealed at the end. So we're going to kick it off with 3 points this week. backing off your man Adam Reynolds, no Walsh, no Payne Haas, a win against the Cowboys, 14 points, 2 try assists, and a masterclass with the boot. He had 650 kicking meters, but all of them were absolutely fantastic nudges. And I reckon Drinkwater's still having some nightmares currently on that one. So yeah, Adam Reynolds, absolutely fantastic. Collecting 2 points, the hammer, fins up in this one. Your man, Jordan, 1 try, 2 try assists, 4 tackle breaks, 2 line break assists, 164 run meters, and he's put the fins on top of the ladder for the first time as well. So fantastic from the hammer there. And collecting 1 point, he's the ball freak at the moment, Dylan Edwards. 1 try, 1 try assist, 6 tackle breaks, 246 run meters, and a win without the chin. Absolutely fantastic from him there. So yeah, I've got a little tally there, and it'll be interesting to see what trends come along with it, because I'm already seeing 2 fullbacks in this one and sort of who we're going to be biased towards. So these aren't solely stats related. I can guarantee there'll be a few guys, if you're going stat heavy, that would have collected over Adam Reynolds in that one. But what he did was absolutely fantastic. So this is just our straight opinion on it, which is why it is the Dally M lad. Now, you got a new one that you're going to bring in this week, the Grub of the Week.
Yes, we have a Grub of the Week every week. Unfortunately, the week we decide to introduce it, it's hard pick to find a couple of grubs, because the guys that I had my eyes on, which were Max Plath, Curtis Morin, and Lachlan Galvin, they did some pretty grubby plays with the hip drops and the spear tackles, but they seemed pretty like apologetic, like straight away after it. And I don't know if they really deserve to be
a grub, you know, title.
The inaugural Grub of the Year title. So I've actually gone for a bit of a weird one this week. I'm actually going with Tane Milne, and it'll be amongst the fans, I think it'll be a little bit better accepted, because I just got a problem with how he complains or grabs handbags after literally every play of the ball. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Tane Milne gets up, the arms go flared, or it's handbags with the guy in front of him. It's just annoying, man, and it's kind of like slows the game up, creates niggle, which we like a bit of niggle, but I don't know. He's just kind of annoying. When it's in a losing team, it doesn't have the same vibe. It's almost like desperate when they're doing that sort of stuff. So Tane Milne, reel it in a bit, bro. You don't have to complain every single play of the ball.
Hey, after the game, the refs might be having their grub of the week talk as well, and they're talking about him there too. We had discussed as well, I had a little bit of a grubby moment in the commentary in that one, where there was a lot of biased commentary being flung that way, and I don't know, they've got to sort that shit out, man, because like if we're just straight leaning towards the Bunnies or the Bulldogs in those games, like, come on, man. We want to watch this from an unbiased point. You've got ex-players that are sitting in there, you know, Cameron Smith, Mitch Ennis, who does a good job on those teams. They're not full biased in that one. And yeah, it was pretty crack up watching it. Now we move into round 5. We're chalking up the rounds now, man. Into round 5 already. Origin, the chat's already starting to begin in terms of selections and that. So it is moving very quickly. All of these odds are accurate as of Tuesday at 6 p.m. And the first one, Storm, they take on the Broncos at Amy Park. The Storm are $1.48 favorites in this one. The Broncos are $2.65 underdogs here, which is interesting considering they're big underdogs coming into that Cowboys clash. And the line is at 6.5. Munster, Welsh, and Hughes all return for the Storm. Massive ins for them. Jaden Hunt, he's into the second row for the Broncos. Still no Walsh and still no Payne Haas. The Storm, they have won 40 of their 55 matches played against the Broncos, and the Brisbane Broncos only have a 21% win rate here at Amy Park. The Storm have won 7 of their last 8 games against the Broncos and have won their last 7 games against them at Amy Park. Broncos have not beaten them here since 2016. Everything is pointing towards a Storm victory in this one. Munster and Hughes back for them is absolutely huge. I'm going to lean towards the Melbourne Storm to get a victory here in this one. But it's going to have to happen up front here. The Broncos prove that they can be still a hassle to deal with up front. Man, yeah, I've got to lean towards the Storm in this one. Hughes, Munster back for them, absolutely huge. I think it's going to unlock an absolutely unreal performance from Pappy as well.
And I tell you what, that's why I love your stats, Sammy, because I was having nightmares when trying to think of an answer for this one, because first game of the week, The team list come out at 6. We record this at 7. I spent about 15 minutes on this one. I was like, fuck, I gotta quickly do the other one. So I was scrambling, man. This is a hard game to think of. But I'm with you, bro. I'm going to stick with the Melbourne Storm. All of those stats sort of point in their direction. And, you know, weather conditions are clear. I know I'm kind of reaching by getting into this, but the Storm back three will be a little bit more prepared without, you know, torrential rain coming down for a Reynolds kicking game. So I like that for them. Also trust Pappenhausen in those sort of situations as well. And I trust Bellamy to kind of game plan around that kicking game coming off a bye. They would have done 2 weeks of preparation knowing how good the Broncos were last year and how they've had their number kind of recently in the playoffs, 26-0. I know they won last year. So he would have been preparing his boys for this game. And Munster and Hughes returning is huge because you now get to see the final form of this three-headed monster of Grant, him, and Pappenhausen. And, yeah, they've been so dangerous. It's been so long since we've kind of seen them all together. So this is kind of exciting. Maybe the last time, I might be kind of reaching here, but the last time that we did see them together was like 2020 when they won the grand final. So we know how effective they can be. They're also undefeated at home this year and only lost one game at Amy Park last year. But yeah, the Broncos are still a good team, man. They proved they're a quality team without Walsh and Haas. So I like them to get close. But when you're splitting hairs with these top teams, I got to back the near full strength Storm. So I'm actually going Storm in a close one, 1-12 at $2.75.
Yeah, I like it. And long-time listeners of the show, you'll notice that we're obviously recording this online. I am moving over to Melbourne soon. My partner is over there currently, and I can back you up with that. It looks fantastic over in Melbourne at the moment. Hopefully, it'll be a fantastic weather for the on the pitch out there on Thursday night as well. So looking forward to a good one there.
You're not trading in colours, are you?
No, I'm not. I was laughing at that one because I'm from Auckland, so I've got to always back the Warriors. I've got a soft spot for them. I've always grown up with the old band screaming at the television, blowing up at the Rev, blowing up at the Wire. So I've got a little soft spot for them there. I am a Manly fan, and now I'm living in Melbourne. It's going to be a little bit weird. I can't, I don't know, I can't put a Storm. I know. So I don't know what I'm going to do there, but I will be going along to the games. All of the try scorer stats in this one look absolutely terrible for the round, that is. I'm going to go Will Warbrook in this one. Taruva and Tonga had an absolute field day on that edge for them just a couple of weeks ago. And I'm going to juice up a lot of our odds in this one. So I've got a same game multi here of Will Warbrook and into the Broncos plus 17.5. So we're giving them a real big blanket in case this blows out at $3.10. Now we move into the Bulldogs. They take on the Roosters at Accor Stadium. So the Roosters are $1.33 favourites in this one. The Bulldogs are $3.35 underdogs, and the line sits at 9.5. No real changes here to note for the Roosters. Preston is out. Ed O'Carr joins him as well. So Curran moves into the second row, and Bronson Cherry, who it was rumoured to make his season debut, moves into that 19th man spot. He's been absolutely killing it, especially the last 2 weeks in New South Wales Cup. So it will be interesting to see if they do shift Carraz out to the wing and bring him in there. Both teams have pretty good win rates here at Accor Stadium. But the Roosters have won 9 of their last 10 games against the Bulldogs. And I'm going chooks here. I think this one could be an absolute humdinger here, and it could get out of hand for the Doggies. My best bet for this game, though, as well, is I'm going James Tedesco. He scored a double the last time that they played. I think he'll be on a tear in this. I'm going to partner him up with Big Dommy Young out on that right wing. And I'm going to also anchor it with the Roosters to win at $5.
Okay, and yeah, man, I'm going to have to back you again here because how can you not pick the Roosters from what you've seen from both teams? Roosters also beat the Bulldogs last year, 25-24. And, you know, some of the stronger players from the Bulldogs' performance last week were Ed O'Carr, Jacob Preston, and Curtis Moran even. I thought he had a good game coming off the bench and he showed a bit of X factor.
Sorry to cut you short there. He came in with some venom, man. That guy was putting like 150% into everything he fucking did. He was head down, shoulder up, arm following. It was fantastic to see.
Yeah, and you love a player playing with that much intensity and towing the line, but unfortunately he kind of slipped over the line and now he's not playing this week. So that will be a big loss for them. The Roosters have shown they've had pretty good defense so far, other than coming up against, you know, the premiers from last year, last week. So they've looked good, whereas the Bulldogs have looked more dangerous from 60-plus than they have in the strike zone. Like, once it gets close for them, Hutchinson's just catch pass, and it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of control from Matt Burden. So I don't really like it for the Bulldogs in terms of attack. The Roosters once again coming in with a deep pack that brought, I'm going to be doing some NRL math again, but brought the physicality to the Rabbitohs pack, which were able to handle the Bulldogs last week. Errors and ill discipline still a huge problem for the Bulldogs. So I can see maybe a close first half with an eventual runaway for the Roosters, similar to what they did to the Rabbitohs. I'm liking them to go 13 plus here at $2.10.
One thing I want to see is, you notice not last week, but the week beforehand for the Roosters, with Sandon Smith in there, the reins were on Sammy Walker, and he sort of controlled that team around there, and Tacky Flair was there. And then this week, Carey coming in, it kind of looked a little bit clunky. They weren't sure when they were going to go right. I want to see them sort of just give Sammy Walker that side, especially early on. Just let him have the reins for the team and let Carey sort of drop in and follow after that. Not the other way where it's then coming to the right. And because you've got Dom Young out there, you've got Joey Manu, Tedesco floating around. He's got all the weapons on that side now, and we need to see him sort of really take control of this team. So hopefully we start to see a little bit of that moving forward from the Chooks. Now the Knights, they take on the Dragons at McDonald Jones Stadium. So the Knights are $1.45 favourites here. The Dragons are $2.75 underdogs, with the line sitting at 6.5. Hastings, he returns for the Knights. Gamble dropped. Dragons, no notable changes there. Now, McDonald Jones, we've talked about this being a very tough place to play and a fortress for the Knights. But the Dragons, they have a 78% win rate here. They've won 18 of their 23 matches at McDonald Jones Stadium. I'm going Dragons, man. They showed last week that they can perform with that bad juju on them. I'm still salty. I don't think if the Dragons are going to beat the Knights, if the Dragons are going to beat Manly, Manly definitely beat the Knights. So Dragons should pump the Knights. So, yeah, look, yeah. I'm going to go Dragons this one. They seem like a juju team. They seem like a team that's just going to fuck shit up this season for some of those contenders or just make it a real headache. They're a pain in the ass to pick. Yeah, look, I'm going Dragons here.
Yeah, I can't do it, man. I can't join you. I just don't trust them yet. They have looked a lot better. Luciano Leilua has looked fantastic since coming into the side. I think he's added a whole lot for them, but I just can't trust them, man. Like, the Seagulls were absolutely atrocious. Like, the amount of drop balls and, like, easy fumbles that they were doing was...
They were playing with a bar of soap.
Yeah, yeah. Here, Dragons take the game, and the Dragons were sort of like, oh, we'll make it 20-12. We'll make it close. So, I still can't trust them. Knights won this last contest away, 32-12. So, they do have the very latest stick over them. Whereas the Knights were also competitive last week against the Warriors away, which is a hard place to play, and they're now being bolstered by the return of Gagai. And I also like the return of Hastings, as it seems like last week Ponga had to try and get involved with everything to create the threatening attack, whereas you said last week Hastings had 5 try assists in New South Wales Cup, and I think he can also generate offense in the strike zone himself without having to rely on just Ponga being on both sides and trying to have to work his way into the line. So I think I like his return. They've won their last 6 home games. I know they've got some bad juju against the Dragons here, but I'm just going to trust the more reliable team in the Knights. I've only got them here head-to-head because, you know, it's hard to say whether they're going to just win because of that juju or blow them out like the Dragons tend to do every second game. This is probably their time to lose big again because they seem to be doing that so far this season. But yeah, I've got the Knights head-to-head. $1.44 is where I'll be going.
Nice. Now, Montoya scored on them last week. With the Dragons, they seem to be kicking to Lomax and running the other way, so that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go Revelawa to score. He scored a try the last time that they played as well. And like you said, I do not trust the Dragons, so I'm going to go Michaeli Revelawa into the Dragons, plus 26.5 at $3.10. So I have given them a very big blanket in this one. The Bunnies, they take on the Warriors at Accor Stadium. Fuck you, Cast Patrol, we're coming for them. Warriors are $1.82 favourites. The Rabbitohs are $2 underdogs, with the line sitting at 1.5. Very, very tight. The Warriors, Luke Metcalf and Capewell have been ruled out. CNK, he returns at fullback. RTS shifts back to the centres. Niokure will come in to replace Capewell, and Tamate Martin replaces Metcalf in the halves. I didn't think Chanel Harris-Tavita played all too bad last week, so it is kind of interesting that Tamate has come in, and Chanel hasn't even taken that bench spot as well. For the Bunnies, though, Alex Johnson and Shaq Trail are out. Isaac Thompson comes in to replace Johnson as well. The Warriors, they have a 39% win rate here, 9 of 23, and Souths have won 14 of their last 15 games against them. That's some bad juju, but Souths have been awful to start the season. I can't even count the amount of messages I've got on my phone of all these guys crying about their Bunnies. The Warriors are going to come and pound them into the earth this weekend. I'm expecting them to get up. Real big in this one. We said earlier the attack didn't go down that right side after Metcalf came off, but I think that's exactly where it's going to go this season. With CNK back there, Archie is back in that centre role. I'm expecting them to absolutely pound it. So my best bet for this one is Wyden struggled defensively for Souths this season. At centre, he's let on quite a few tries this season, and Waitini is due. So I'm going Waitini, the dub-dub here, Waitini Waz win at $2.80.
Yeah, I like it, man. And yeah, I'm going to have to back the Wilds too. I actually think you're getting a little bit of a bargain with the line sitting so close between these two teams, considering what I've seen from both of these teams. The shape and attack has already looked sloppy all year for the Rabbitohs, and now they miss their finishing weapon in Johnson, who is really good at like catching that last ball on the beat. I don't think I can trust Isaac Thompson to replicate that role well, so I think that just adds another factor into making this offense even sloppier. The Warriors' attack shape didn't look the greatest last week, but at least they've shown glimpses throughout the year. Like, they've shown some signs against the Melbourne Storm. They had some good attacking moments there. Against the Raiders, they just couldn't put the finishing touch on a couple of things. I'm loving the CNK return. I think that's huge for exit sets and yardage. Also a threat around the ruck. I know RTS did a good job last week, but he's been killing it at center. So I think it's addition by subtraction, or addition by addition, I don't know.
Addition by multiplying.
Yeah, well, there you go. So that's good there. I also think Tim Mighty is a fine replacement for Metcalf. It is a bit funny that Harris DeVita didn't retain his spot, but I think Tim Mighty's a quality player. He doesn't quite have the X factor of a Metcalf, but I think he may be able to, you know, control a game on his side a little better than a Metcalf. So I don't actually mind the replacement. The Rabbitohs do have a strong forward pack, but they will not be able to bully this equally strong Warriors pack. I am going the Warriors. I think we're getting a bargain. I have stretched the line out a little bit just because -1.5, what's the fun in that? I've taken them at -4.5. I've stretched it by 3 points at $2.30. I think they're going to get the job done against the Bunnies because the Bunnies are well and truly cast.
Look at you going, stretching the line out, eh? Let your hair down.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped though. We get to finally see the CNK RTS, all of the fucking letters of the alphabet in this one. See, it'll take shape, though, finally. We get to see what that roaming RTS looks like with CNK as well, and sort of how that right edge is actually going to go to, because, I mean, Roger did a very good job in terms of his, like, return and in around the ball, but like you said, the attack sort of didn't quite take shape. When CNK comes back, that's when it was absolutely flowing, so I'm looking forward to seeing that happen. Manly, they take on the Panthers at Four Pines Park. The Panthers are $1.60 favourites in this one. I don't know why. The Manly are $2.25 underdogs with the line sitting at 3.5. No notable changes for Manly, but Fisher Harris, he returns for the Panthers. Massive game for them. Manly plays some of their best footy here. 60% win rate, while the Panthers do have a 45% win rate here. The Panthers have won their last 8 games in a row against the Sea Eagles. After what happened last week, I'm expecting Manly to want to turn that around, especially being at home. It's going to be a tough ask, but no, Nathan definitely helps in this one. Manly win.
Wow. I saw this game and I thought, you know what? If they get it right, they do have a chance here. But
yeah,
I can't join you because I saw what I saw last week and it was fucking atrocious from the Seagulls. I don't expect them to play like that again this week or ever again, to be honest, because that was atrocious. But I saw what I saw, and it's meant to rain on Saturday night.
No.
It is a team that likes to shift from everywhere and push passes, and if they can make that many mistakes on a dry day, they are vulnerable in the wet. And the Panthers, you know, they did win at Four Pines Park last year, 24-12. They swept the series well, not the series, but they swept both games against them 2-0 last year, winning 44-12 as well.
Yeah.
And the Panthers, you know, on the other hand, look as clinical as ever. Schneider's come in and he's doing an adequate job of controlling the game in Cleary's absence. Fisher Harris is a huge return up front to battle this very big Sea Eagles pack. So I just think it's good value for the Panthers. And if they're going to make the line this close, I'm going to take it. So I'm going to go Panthers -3.5 at $1.87.
Nice.
Sorry, Ben.
My best bet for this game, Critter had a double the last time they played. Tungo in that center spot now, he's been absolutely killing it. Up against Kohler here was going to be a hell of a matchup, but I'm looking one out and I reckon they're going to absolutely dry hump the fuck out of this right side. The Panthers are the left edge of the Panthers are the Sea Eagles here, so I'm going to go Taruva. He's been on an absolute tear at the moment. I've got him anytime try scorer into the Panthers +17.5 just in case Schneider drops the ball or there is some bad juju at Four Pines. I'm giving myself a nice blanket there, and that's at $2.20. Now the Finns, they take on the Tigers at Suncorp. The Dolphins are $1.60 favourites in this one. Tigers are $2.35 underdogs, and the line sits at 3.5. Plath is out. Ray Stone comes in. Tigers, Galvin, he's obviously suspended for 2 weeks. He has been absolutely fantastic. I stuck around in the Eels game afterwards to watch post-game interviews just on what Benji was talking about, just about him in general and then the team as well. He's a fantastic coach, man. He's come in and he's just doing like, he's got his own style at the moment. He's obviously been coached by Wayne Bennett. He's hung around all of that. He had Tim Sheens last year who was sort of overseeing and picking his brand, and he's just taking all of these things by what the looks of it from all of these coaches, and then he's just being Benji, and he's kind of bringing like a different and a fun side of it to the Tigers. I mean, he's Benji Marshall, you know him as the player, and I've seen all these clips of him doing like the 5 meter box drills with guys at training. He said he's set the standards around the team itself, where all of the managers, the coaching staff, will get to the training facility before the players and get a workout in. So when the players come in, they'll see them having completed their work for the day before they've even started, just to set this tone there. It looks fantastic, man. I'm so, so happy for him. But Latu Finau, he comes in on the bench. Bud Sullivan, he's going to have a very big game in this one. He moves into that 5'8 role, but I think we could be looking at the next 14 here. Benji's rolled the dice on another rookie, so it's going to be interesting. Only the one meeting between the Tigers and the Dolphins, which ended in the victory to the Tigers off the back of a late penalty from Appy. Fantastic game that was. I do think, though, that the Dolphins get the jobby here. They are, I know it's not at home, it's in Suncorp. The Tigers are riding this wave, but the Dolphins have been playing some fantastic footy as well, and I just think they've got that little bit more experience, that little bit more finesse with Hammer at the back as opposed to Buller. Kato's been playing very well. I sort of rate him a little bit more over Caesar and just in terms of what he can do with the ball. So I'm going to go Finns to get up in this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great top eight clash between two of the best teams in the comp. Who would have thought that?
I didn't even realize they're top eight. They're both top eight.
Dolphins right up the top and Tigers sitting at six. So should be fireworks in this one between the Dolphins and the West Tigers. Benji Marshall, just to piggyback off that point, it looks like he's really inspired this team. And you can kind of see the effect of, you know, having a young coach like a Benji, who is also a legend. He has the his voice has the ears of his whole locker room. And then he also can connect to these players on a different level than perhaps some of these older coaches like a Ricky Stewart or Bellamy, you know, that just yell at your team coaches sort of do. So
it's kind of like a generational thing as well. I know where you're heading with that. You've got these guys that can kind of relate to Benji because they've grown up watching him as well.
Yeah, so I'm liking this new style, and I'm liking that it's garnering results for the Tigers because they've been in a bad way for a long time. And it's good to see a West stalwart like Benji Marshall turning this club around and, you know, doing a great job so far this season. So I hope it kind of sticks up for them, but I'm like you, I am going with the Dolphins. I mean, the Tigers, like I said, have been great. They have been playing a high percentage style through the forwards so far this year, whereas the Dolphins have actually kind of been more confident this year and playing with a bit of X factor and enterprise, using Hammer a lot more and getting him heavily involved and chancing the round by spreading the ball. But they did sort of play like how the Tigers have started playing last year. And they still have Wayne Bennett as their coach, and he's the king of high percentage footy. So I trust with this new strong pack, he'll still be able to go to the well if need be. And the Tigers are actually missing one of their X factors in Lachlan Galvin, like you said before, due to that hip drop. So it is a big blow for the Tigers. But I don't think they're going to get blown out because they have proven that they're a gritty team with a lot of determination. They were actually probably down in territory against the Eels and still just gutted it out with defense and heart to get that result. So I think they'll go close, but I like the Dolphins to win off some opportune tries from their stars and get the job done 1-12 at $2.88.
Yeah, I like it. You touched on Hammer before. We both predicted Nathan Cleary for our Dally M winner. I'm going to switch up right now, early in it. I reckon Hammer's going to get it, eh? Okay. I reckon he's got this. It's, you're looking at that. I'm surprised I even glanced over him so much. We've had Kalen Ponga, we've had Nico Hines, these guys that are on these not star-studded teams, and if he can carry the Finns through a few more results, I feel like it's Hammer time over in the Redcliffe Dolphins there. I do like that one. My best bet for this game, though, Katoa's switched from that right to that left, and we've started to see a bit of a dry up over on Osako's side, and we're starting to see a lot more attack come down that left edge for the Dolphins. So I'm going Bostock in this one. The Finns attack has started to look fantastic on that left edge. I'm going to back him there. Anytime try score into the Finns to win at $3. Now the Cowboys, they take on the Titans at Country Bank Stadium. The Cowboys are heavy favourites in this one, $1.15. And the Titans are $5.50 underdogs, with the line sitting at a whopping 15.5. No real changes to note for the Cowboys. The Titans lose Philip Sami and Jojo Fifita. He comes in for them. An 0-3 start for the Titans this year, and they are 1-5 at Queensland Country Bank Stadium.
Okay.
I think it's going to get pretty ugly out here. The Cowboys win this one very, very comfortably, I think. I've been waiting or trying to figure out when we might see that first 60 or 70 point margin blow up in the season. I reckon it could come quite early, and it could be this game.
Yeah, I am backing the Cowboys. I do agree. The degenerate in me actually looks at that line and goes, I mean, the Titans did beat them last time, so I don't hate it, but I'm going to try suppress those feelings. I'm staying with the Cowboys because they did win in Townsville the last time they played in Townsville, 24-12. And it is meant to be wet again in this game, so I don't want to go too crazy with it, but they actually played some really good attacking footy in the rain last week against the Broncos in that first half before they started dropping high balls, and then they just kind of got outclassed by the quality outfit that the Broncos are. So I don't mind them to still put the Titans away comfortably. The Titans are just so depleted, man. No Camperera, no Tino, no Sammy, no Liu. And Fifita's still working his way into fitness off the bench. I mean, they did look better last week. They did have their moments, but they're still averaging 6 points per game and are winless on the season. Whereas the Cowboys, before that blip last week, were averaging 36.7 points per game. So it should be 13+. I'm going to back it 13+. Paying $1.67, I think the Cowboys can blow the doors off the Titans here.
Nice. Now, we love our NBA. And a term used within the NBA is the Big Three. And that's exactly what I'm going to do here. But instead of Big Three, I'm going Back Three. I'm going Taulangi, Fout, Drink Water, all anytime try scorers into the Cows 13+. If we're looking at a 13+ result, we've got two try scorers there and plus one, and you can get that at $8.50. Now the Raiders, they take on the Eels at GIO Stadium. The Raiders are $1.68 favorites here. The Eels are $2.20 underdogs, and the line sits at 2.5. Doozy of a game to end on. If you're 100% on your picks coming into here, be sweating in this one. The Eels, no notable changes. The Raiders, Hosking is out for them. The Eels have a 5-19 record at GIO Stadium. The Eels have won 5 of their last 7 games against the Raiders, but I do think the Raiders will get a jobby done here. Fogarty's kicking game has been absolutely fantastic this year for them, along with the forward pack. There's been a lot of mistakes out in the outside back. Savage showed a lot of flair last week, but he also showed a lot of mistakes. And I think with the Eels missing the golden boot and Mitch Moses, Dylan Brown can kind of do a job, but Talagi, he looked a little bit lost out there, and it's just not the same juggernaut in the Eels. Coming off that Tigers loss, I don't know. We talked about when a tie, whatever team loses to the Tigers loses the next week. I think it's going to happen here again in this one. I'm going Raiders win.
Yeah. Yeah. And I fully agree with you. And I agree with all your points as well, because it seems to me like Moses is the missing link with this offloading heavy forward pack, because he's just so fast and so quick to pounce on opportunities. And he's really good once the game gets a little bit loose. And when you're offloading as much as the Eels are, the game tends to get kind of loose. And Taulagi is, you know, maybe still a little bit experienced to cover that gap that Moses brings with his abilities. And Moses also makes really good decisions in the strike zone. Like, Moses is a big loss for the team, and I think that's ultimately the difference. I think if you're going to have a kicking battle as well between Fogarty and Moses, I don't think Taulagi or Brown can match the kicking ability of a Fogarty, so I can see the Raiders having an advantage in that department. It's going to be an epic battle up front, but I also got to point to Corey Horsburgh coming back off the bench for the Raiders. I think he will bolster that pack and make them even stronger than they already are. And the Raiders already won their last meeting in Canberra 26-18, so I expect a close physical contest. There could be some big hits in this game, but I think the Raiders are going to get it done 1-12 at $2.88.
Nice. My best bet for this one. Seb Chris, he's scored 3 tries in his last 3 games at Eels, against the Eels, but I don't really like him in this one. That right side for the Raiders has started to really connect lately. Rapana threw a fantastic cutout ball to Schiller last week. So I'm going to back Schiller in again, anytime tries for it, into the Eels, plus 17.5 at $2.80. Our best bets for this one, just to recap them all, I've got Will Warbrick and the Broncos, plus 17.5 at $3.10 there. Tedesco, Dom Young, Roosters win at $5. Michaeli Ravalawa and the Dragons, plus 26.5 at $3.10. We've got the dub, Waitini Warriors, and they win, at $2.80. Taruva and the Panthers, plus 17.5 at $2.20. Bostock fins up at $3. And the big three, Taulagi, Felt, Drinkwater, Cowboys, 13 plus, $8.50. Jump on it now. And Schiller and the Eels, Schiller into the Eels, plus 17.5 at $2.80.
Very nice. Very blowing the doors off this week. I see you've gone for an absolute haymaker.
Yeah, we've got a good kitty now. It's time to start getting silly with it.
Yeah, nice. I've gone to start the week. I've gone the Storm 1-12 in an absolute horror game to pick. $2.75. There should be a close one though. I've got the Roosters 13 plus at $2.10. I've got the Knights head to head to beat the Dragons. Don't know how much they're going to win by, so I've just gone easy there. $1.44. The Warriors to cover a minus 4.5 line to stick it to those Cast Patrol boys at $2.30. I've got the Panthers to cover the minus 3.5 line at $1.87. The Dolphins to win 1-12 at $2.88 in the top of the table clash. Cowboys to win 13 plus $1.67 up in Townsville. And then finally, the Raiders to win a close tight game, $1.12 at $2.88. Oh, sorry, 1-12 at $2.88. Not $1.12, imagine that. That'd be my old lock bets.
That would be. Now we're going to move into the repeat set bets. So this one, like we say, each week is just a short little grubber on the ground, looking for a repeat set on this one, something safe, something that's a lock that you can use next week. And Cowboys, 13 plus, $1.65 is what I got it at. That's exactly where I'm going.
Very nice, very nice. And I've going to back the boys here. We've got a little bit of a banter going on between Cast Patrol and the Rabbitohs and the Warriors and us here at Lads Talking Footy. So I'm going to back the boys in my repeat set bet to go 4 in a row, hopefully. Warriors head-to-head at $1.78.
Nice. And we move into the 40-20 bets. Big punt downtown. We're going to switch it up, change the momentum. We're looking for anything over $4.20, or you can hit it on the nose because it's still going to be you're going to get the ball back and you can attack again. For me this week, big Dommy Young, Dallin Waitini Zalesniak into the Cowboys 13 plus. Cowboys 13 plus. I've anchored this on nearly everything this week. I hope there's no bad juju coming on that one, but Dommy Young, DWZ, those boys are due. Simple math between us lads here and the Cowboys 13 plus. And that's at $5.67 as well.
Ooh, very nice. Very juicy. I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of bad juju onto my 40-20 bet as well, because I actually have one from that North Queensland Titans game. I've got Valentine Holmes, anytime try scorer. And then I've also got the Sydney Roosters 13 plus. Bag that up. That's $4.83 in value. And hopefully we can get my first 40-20 over the line.
Nice. I like it. I sit here every week and I'm reading through all of these and I'm just getting so pumped. I just think they're all going to come in. So I think this week is the week. We're going to see you all green come next week. But that is the show wrapped up for us. We will see you again next week while we review all of this and preview what will be round 6. Enjoy all of the footy this weekend. Up the wires. Fuck you, Cast Patrol. They're going to pound these bunnies into the earth. Like and subscribe on YouTube. We'll see you all next week. Peace.